This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. When you go to the grocery store, do you bring your own bags? Do you ask for paper? Do you fill your cart with disposable plastic bags? Well, what about when you go to the hardware store or the toy store or the mall? Do you bring your own bags then or take the disposable bag that's offered? Lawmakers in Montpelier are considering two different bills that deal with the issue of the mountains of plastic bags we put into our environment every year. One bill would charge consumers a fee for taking a single-use plastic bag at the checkout counter. The other would ban those plastic bags altogether. Neither bill will make it all the way through the legislature this year, but this topic will likely be back for debate next year. So regardless of what happens legislatively right now, it's on the minds of many people. And most consumers have had to grapple with their own behaviors, needs, and desires. So let's talk about it. First up for this conversation is Representative David Dean, chair of the House Fish and Wildlife Committee, which is looking at those two bills. Representative Dean, nice to talk with you.
Thank you for having me on.
I mentioned there are two different bills, and let's just get the streamlined versions of both of them, starting with the one that would ban the bags altogether. Seems fairly straightforward, but what does that entail?
It's H-105, and it sets in place a prohibition of single-use carry-out bags after July 1, 2018. And it requires that a retail establishment not provide a single-use carry-out bag to a customer.
And it also has some penalties attached, right?
Yes, but we're not really focused on the penalties yet. We still have a lot of decisions to make before we start thinking of penalties. But the bill does provide violation of this subchapter shall be punishable by a civil penalty of not more than $1,000 for a first violation, $2,000 for a second violation, and not more than $5,000 for a third or subsequent violations. And that would come back onto the person providing the bags.
And are you thinking that this ban would be something that would take effect after a little while, so retailers would be able to get rid of the bags that they certainly already have in storage and in their stores?
Right. The bill as introduced would have provided a year. The effective date as introduced was July 1 this year, 2017. And in fact, the ban does not go into effect until July 1, 2018. So there was a year's period of time for retailers to transition.
And Representative Dean, the other bill would assess a 10-cent fee on plastic bags. How would that work?
That gets it's a little bit more complicated.
That's why I asked it second.
A person shall pay at the time of purchase from a store a charge of 10 cents for each disposable carry-out bag used. But then it does go on and say the store can retain 2 cents of that 10 cents in order to deal with the collection and remittance and other costs associated with the 10 cents per bag. H-88 is the 10 cents per bag, and that's aimed at changing our habits. We get whacked an extra 10 cents. Is that strong enough incentive or disincentive to take a plastic bag? And the other, H-105, is just a flat-out ban, which means that as a state, it is our public policy that one-use plastic bags are no longer going to be available to the public.
In the bill that would charge that 10-cent fee, as you said, 2 cents could go to retailers for having to administer this fee, and then 8 cents would go to the state. And where would that state money go?
It's headed to a place called the Solid Waste Management Account. Right now, the state has a $6 per ton tipping fee that applies to all solid waste facilities, landfills. And those funds go into the solid waste management account in order to underwrite the activities of the agency in controlling solid waste. This money would be deposited in that account.
We're talking about plastic bags, single-use or disposable plastic bags, you know, the kind that you get at the grocery store, unless you're somebody who gets paper bags or brings your own bags. Pretty much everybody I know has an opinion on this. Representative Dean, it will not surprise you. We've been getting notes all morning. Rick says, I think Aldi's has a novel solution to the bag problem. They offer no free bags. They offer bags that are reusable for sale at the checkout. And there are often cardboard boxes throughout the store that can be used. Most people just bring their own bags. Another novel Aldi innovation is a 25-cent rental fee for the use of a cart. You insert a quarter to free a cart from the line, and it's returned when the cart is snapped back into place. No carts scratching your car in the lot. Bill also applauds Aldi's and says, I always keep a decent supply of reusable bags in my car at all times, including two cooler bags so that my freezer items and temperature-sensitive produce can stay fresh all the way home. Let's do it. Paco tweets, yes, ban the bag. I feel awkward always asking the grocer, sorry, can I have paper, please? Because they default to those cheap plastic bags. I'd also like to see grocers debundle the bag from the shopping, charged 10 cents a bag because 5 cents is not enough to change behavior. But VTGator22 tweets, I reuse the plastic ones as my trash can liner. Additional environmental impact if I had to purchase trash bags. And Michael says, if it was a store policy to ban the bag or to charge more for the bag, I would most likely shop somewhere else. If it's a state policy, well, then I'll consider going over to Littleton, New Hampshire. And let's hear from Sarah calling in from Rutland. Hi, Sarah. Go right ahead.
Hi, Jane. I think you made a wonderful point saying that it's not just the grocery stores that give out plastic bags, which is very true. I think this is just another example, these two pending legislations of being over-legislated by the state and just more revenue for the state. I don't think it has anything to do with bags or garbage. I personally reuse every single plastic bag that I get. The stores, most stores actually have huge receptacles where people can dump their old bags. So I am totally against this legislation, and it would be a hardship for me because personally, I don't want to have to go and buy expensive plastic bags.
Sarah,
and I do have cloth bags, too, also, that I do use in between.
So you do have cloth bags, but you want, is it just the freedom to go into a store and have the plastic bag?
Yes, I use them like somebody had tweeted for my garbage liners. I use them for garbage. I reuse every single bag I get.
Well, thanks for calling in and sharing your thoughts. Appreciate that. Representative Dean, I'm going to come back to you, but let's get a couple more thoughts in here. Anne is calling in from Williston. Hi, Anne. What are your thoughts?
So in 2011, my family and I made a trip to Ireland. And in Ireland, it's illegal to have those plastic bags, or at least that's what we were told. So what happens at the grocery store is you go in, you buy your groceries, and you have to buy a bag if you don't have a bag. So they have the cloth bags and the non-disposable bags, and they charge anywhere from 2 to 10 euros to buy one. So I think after a while, it's not a fine or a something that the legislature is bringing down on you. It's just common sense. Every time I go to the grocery store, I don't want to spend an extra $20 because I didn't bring my bags, and now I bring them with me, and if I forget, okay, so I need to spend some money that time, but that's going to make me not do it the next time.
Anne, thanks for your comments. Appreciate that. We're also hearing other listeners reminding us of Ireland's policy and looking to that as a way to do it. Katrina also says, I lived in London 30 years ago, and you had to pay 5 cents for a plastic bag at the grocery store then. They were doing it 30-plus years ago. I keep reusable grocery bags in my car, in my purse, and in my home. It's easy not to use plastic and so much better for the environment. And let's go to Candy calling in from Burlington. Hi, Candy. What are your thoughts?
Jane, I'm just back from living in Portland, Oregon for 3 months, where I went grocery shopping, it seemed like every day, and no plastic bags allowed at the checkout counter. And I am terrible at remembering to bring my cloth bags, but it still was not a big deal because you just had your groceries bagged in a paper bag. And everybody in Oregon seemed to have adjusted to this. I didn't hear any complaints from other shoppers. So I would have to say it sounds like a good idea to me. I did miss having some plastic bags at home to put the leftover chicken in the refrigerator, but to me it was worth it to get those awful plastic bags out of the landfill.
Candy, nice to hear your voice. Thanks for calling in. Representative Dean, what do you think? Do you like the idea of assessing a fee or banning plastic bags altogether? Do you think that either of those approaches is a good one?
My preference is to let's just get this over with. Let's just ban the use of plastic bags. The notion of having a fee that has to be collected and remittance and responsibility that gets placed on our retailers, it doesn't feel right to me. And of course, as the caller mentioned earlier, that it can be classified as a source of revenue as opposed to a public policy. Plastic bags remain in the environment. They are a threat to the environment. They cost our solid waste management districts extra money because they mess up their recycling equipment, and they just never break down. And consequently, most people, unfortunately, do not take advantage of the recycling efforts that are available through various large grocery retailers, at least down my way in the southern part of the state. So they somehow make their way into the environment. One of the things I find really helpful and would, I think, be part of a ban on the use of plastic bags is signs in the parking lot. People mention that they forget their bags. Signs in the parking lot. Did you remember your reusable bag?
And if not, then they turn around and drive home?
Yeah, no, you see it as you are walking up to the store. They at least down again in the southern part of the state, many of the stores have these warnings. Please bring your bags.
Let me ask you one other question before we let you go. And it's a note we got from Jim in Colchester who says, I fear that the legislature will once again move the state in the wrong direction. Banning or taxing the use of plastic bags is a tax on families with children in particular. Do you see this as having a negative impact at all, potentially, on consumers? We've heard from a few people who say this is going to cost me money either way.
The notion that reusable bags is an ongoing kind of expense, I'm not sure people have quite thought that through. What I have found is that various retailers in southern Vermont, as you purchase a good or product, will put the product into a reusable bag. I have the most eclectic collection of shopping bags from retailers all over southern Vermont. I'll take four or five of them into the grocery store with me. So I think people are over-concerned, if you will, about what the cost might be. If we ban plastic bags, there is also the whole issue of paper bags and our wood products industry. And we have not yet had time to begin to explore that in terms of shifting back to the good old paper bag. So we'll see where this goes.
Yeah. And luckily, it sounds like you'll have next year, the second half of the biennium, to get into all of those questions. As I mentioned at the top of the show, this is not going to go through this year, but it is something that will likely remain up for debate in the second half of the biennium next year. Representative
right.
David Dean.
I have four Senate passed bills that are on our agenda prior to considering this.
So this is not the top priority.
No, not at this time.
That's Representative.
We're out of here soon.
That's right. I know. We got to talk to you while we can.
Yeah.
David Dean is chair of the House Fish and Wildlife Committee. He's been talking with us about these bills that are in Montpelier, not going out this year, but will remain up for debate about either banning or charging a fee for disposable plastic bags. Thanks very much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Today we're talking about the problem of single-use disposable plastic bags and looking at whether or not they might be banned or have a fee charged to them. And we're just hearing your perspective on what you do and what you think about this idea. And you're also sharing thoughts with us about other places that have done this and how it's going. Brad says, help the environment, ban both plastic and paper bags. We did it here in California, and there was no real problem. Thomas in Bethel says, I grew up in Germany, and as long as I can think, you had to have to pay $1.50 or €1.50 or more for a durable reusable bag, plastic or cloth. If you go to a German grocery store, 95% of all shoppers bring their own reusable bag and the rest will pay for a reusable bag, no free plastic bags. Living in this beautiful state of Vermont for 7 years, I'm surprised that only now the thought comes up to hopefully get away with this harmful habit of those flimsy plastic bags that end up in landfills or fly around in nature polluting the environment. But Marguerite in Weston says, like most Vermonters, I cringe when I see plastic bags alongside the roads or caught in trees, but I use all the bags that I collect. Like many pet owners, I use the bag's waste for pickup and cat litter disposal. And one final thought, I see just as many aluminum cans as I do plastic bags on the roadside, and no one is suggesting that we eliminate beverages in cans. Post on the Vermont Edition Facebook page with your thoughts. At town meeting in Brattleboro this year, townspeople voted to advise the select board to prohibit stores from giving out these single-use carry-out plastic bags. On the line with us now is Brattleboro town manager Peter Elwell. Peter, nice to talk with you.
Nice to be with you.
So what exactly did this vote do?
It was advisory, as you said. There was a petition circulated in the community prior to town meeting to place this on the ballot to state the preference of the voters in the community as advice to the select board. And it was overwhelmingly approved. And so we're now undertaking the process of researching what we can learn from other places that have taken a similar action and what some of the impacts would be positively and negatively here in Brattleboro, so that later this year the select board will be able to make a fully informed decision about what kinds of regulations we might put in place here.
Do you have any sense how strong the push is for this? I know voters did pass this, but do you have a sense of how big a deal this is in Brattleboro?
Yeah, it's important to the community. Overwhelming majority of voters supported it. I believe it was the yes votes were somewhere in the 70s%. There's no question that reducing the waste that's represented and the environmental harm that's represented by the current practices is a desirable outcome. The main things we're focusing on are the kind of practical questions of how do you create an ordinance that's enforceable? How do you create one that actually achieves the objective of reducing the use of plastic and increasing the use of reusable bags in a manageable way, in a way that isn't going to be unworkable for the local businesses and it's going to be, and enforceability is a real issue because we're not in a position where we can devote additional staff to going around and policing this matter. So it's got to be something that is a practical ordinance to implement and where people are going to want to participate in this as opposed to having to be forced to participate in it.
Are you hearing anything from people or retailers or organizations that oppose this idea?
We have heard some, I'd say, constructive criticism of an outright ban. Not so much, again, opposed to the underlying objective, but opposed to the idea that just a straight ban of plastic bags is the most effective way to go about it. And in fact, that's what we've learned from other communities we've looked at so far, too, is in some cases that's had the unintended consequence of because you have to be pretty specific about defining what is prohibited if it's just an outright ban. Then there have been situations where people worked around that, complied with the ordinance, but we're still giving away free plastic bags. And so we think that the likely best course of action is going to be more complicated than that. And we're still some weeks away from formulating recommendations for the select board to consider about what the right layers of complexity are in terms of defining what bags might be prohibited versus discouraging use of certain products and encouraging use of others.
Peter Elwell is Brattleboro town manager. Townspeople there voted to advise the select board to prohibit stores from giving out single-use carry-out plastic bags at town meeting day this year. Peter, thanks for talking with us.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
And listeners, again, if you want to share your perspective on this idea of banning plastic bags or charging a fee for them in order to get people to move towards reusable bags at grocery stores and other kinds of stores, you can send us a note, write to Vermont Edition at vpr.net, or post a note on our show page at vpr.net. Matthew tweets us, just back from a business trip to France where I visited the grocery store and I didn't have a plastic bag with me. It was a pain, but it does make sense. And let's go to Grace calling in from Montreal. Hi, Grace. Your thoughts today?
Hi. Yeah, I'm just going to be mimicking, I believe, what a lot of callers have said, but I have three young children, one still in diapers, and I have to say every single plastic bag that that I take from the grocery, and they do charge here in Montreal. There's been a 5 cents charge for the past several years. But I do still take the bags because I use every single one of them. But I still agree with what the congressman is saying, and that it's, I think it's necessary. It's probably a better idea to do a complete ban rather than a fee. But my question, I wonder too, for those of us who, I believe every single household uses plastic bags, whether it's in their garbage can or if they have dogs and whatnot, then we'll be having to buy them anyway on top of it. And so, I mean, plastic bags will still be around, but I think it is necessary to, I think it's probably a better idea to completely ban them.
So, Grace, do you see some hypocrisy here then in thinking about banning a plastic bag that you get at the checkout, but it would be fine if you, in your reusable bag, had a box of single-use plastic bags for your trash can or for your dirty diapers or for
That's
your
it,
pet
right?
waste?
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, we go through the checkout and we'll be purchasing these plastic bags. That's, I guess, yeah, exactly, as you said, that's the hypocrisy of it. But I think it is a good idea to completely ban them outright rather than have a tax on them or a fee for them, because that I don't think that really puts people off.
Yeah, Grace, thanks for your call. Appreciate hearing from you in Montreal. Let's go to Katie in Colchester. Hi, Katie. What are you thinking?
Hi. I definitely agree there should just be an outright ban. I just feel as though at this day and age, you know, I have a cache of these bags, of these reusable bags that I've been using forever, and I've gone through so many, and I don't know a lot of people who don't also have just a giant pile of them somewhere. You know, they're ubiquitous. They're given out everywhere free. You know, they might not be the ones that you want them to look like, but I mean, they're there. They're there to use. So I don't know. I don't see what the issue is. I'm a mother myself. I don't find the cost off-putting to buy one, to purchase one. They're available everywhere, and typically they're really inexpensive, and you get so many miles out of them. I mean, you know, you see people using them for so many different types of things to put them in. You know, the range that you can use them for is great. So it's not just for grocery, but again, I want to see an outright ban. It's just pointless to have that anymore.
Yeah, Katie, thanks for your perspective. Katie's saying it certainly wouldn't necessarily impact a lot of people for a couple of years, it sounds like, if they did ban plastic bags, because you could just take them out of your pantry for the next few years, the pile you've got and stuck in a drawer somewhere. Eric is on the line with us from Castleton. Hi, Eric. We'd love your perspective.
Well, I've been a canoeist for quite some time, and if you look at plastic bags from the river point of view, you see an entirely different picture than you might just walking down the road, driving down the road. I have been trying to get plastic bags banned for quite some time. I moved up here from Dallas, Texas, where they tried to do this implementation of banning plastic bags or putting a 5 cent, 10 cent tax on it. It's really hard to legislate a process where you can get the bags 5 cents, 10 cents, because the retailers don't like the complexity that you get in there. So you just go ahead and ban these things and they'll be gone. You can't just say that we're taxing individuals like families because we're going to get rid of them. Well, you know, shopping does cost you something. So we're going to underwrite the family's trash needs by giving away plastic bags, and we're going to be putting them out into the environment. And you don't really need a map of where the transfer stations are. All you have to do is drive around, and lo and behold, the number of plastic bags in the environment goes way up. Why is that? Because they blow around so easily.
Eric,
get into the food chains, the birds, all that stuff goes on.
Yeah, I appreciate your perspective and sharing, you know, what you have been seeing as a paddler. Thank you for that. Joining us now is Aaron Sigrist, president of the Vermont Retailers and Grocers Association. VRGA hasn't actually taken a stand on this issue yet, but does have some concerns, and we'd like to hear them. Aaron, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dean. Thank you.
So you have, as I said, no official position yet, but there are some concerns. What would you say is the top concern that retailers have?
Well, I think, Jane, that we have, like you said, a couple concerns, one of them being just really getting consumers to understand the cultural shift. You know, it's been ingrained in everyone's mind for quite some time that when you go shopping, you get a bag to carry out your products. So it's not as easy as picking a date and saying, okay, we're no longer allowing plastic or, I guess I should say, single-use carry-out bags. I have firmly said for a number of weeks now throughout the discussion that there needs to be significant education and outreach. We need to let the consumers know that if something is voted on by the legislature, then we need to put in place some type of educational effort to ensure that all consumers are aware of this change. And also we need to take into consideration two different populations in Vermont. So there are, we're one of the oldest states in the country, and we really need to make sure that, you know, our older Vermonters are aware and they get extra help when it comes to remembering those bags. You know, if you're 90 years old and you're still living on your own, you may need some extra help remembering because you've spent, you know, the last 90 years of your life expecting or anticipating you're getting a bag when you go shopping. We also need to consider those Vermonters that receive SNAP benefits or Three Squares VT benefits. Those benefits do not cover any cost of a bag to carry out your groceries. And sometimes if you're going to the grocery store and spending $100 or $200 on groceries, that's a lot of money to be paying for an individual bag.
Why couldn't they just use paper bags, Aaron?
Well, so H-105, which is on the table now in House Natural Resources Committee, it would ban all use of single-use carry-out bags. So it's not just plastic. It's also single-use paper bags. So it's not as simple as saying we aren't giving you plastic bags anymore. And you know, there is the opportunity to provide a recycled paper bag, but you know, the retailer is not the person or the entity that should be picking the winners and losers. You know, the cashier shouldn't say, well, you have to pay for a paper bag, or you've spent plenty of money, you shouldn't have to pay for a paper bag. You know, we don't want to be the ones that are picking the winners and losers. So again, I think we need to seriously talk about an educational campaign that is clear and provides plenty of time for people to understand and get into a better practice of bringing reusable bags.
Stacy writes, I support any measure that moves towards the discontinuation of plastic bag use. I think an outright ban would be more effective at curbing their use than a 10-cent fee at the register. I think that the 10-cent fee would be about as effective as the current returnable container law. Frida says, it was my New Year's resolution 2 years ago to not bring home any plastic bags, not a single one. So far, so good. Not only has this saved hundreds of plastic bags from ending up in our environment, but even if I save 3 cents for every reusable fabric bag I use, I've saved dollars in the long run. Plastic is everywhere. Be conscious of your use and do one small thing to use less. Any progressive tweets, it'd be nice if the bags given out had to be biodegradable. I use all of mine, and if banned, many people will just buy other plastic bags. And Beth is on the line with us from Burlington. Hi, Beth. Your thoughts.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Yes, I'm from Burlington, and we have so many tourists from out of state and also from around the world. And, you know, they buy things and they walk around downtown all day. And if they're going to just get a paper bag, it's really not going to be that useful. It's going to tear up. And, you know, just thinking about people like that who don't have any idea what's going on. And I think that they should be available. And I think, you know, 10 cents or whatever, you know, I mean, more would be fine with me. But, you know, I think that they ought to be there for people that really are coming from other places and not used to that.
Beth, thanks for your perspective. Let's hear from Geraldine calling in from Milton. Hi, Geraldine.
Yes, hi. Thanks. I am certainly in favor of banning particularly the plastic bags, but if it has to be all bags, then fine. I think Vermont is kind of late coming to this. I think people visiting us would possibly already be in the position of having no bags. The only problem I see is I often buy things in bulk, flour or rice or whatever, and you have to put those in a bag. And I'm not sure how that would work, but I'm sure that they would be able to figure that out. And I'd also like to point out one thing, and that is I often shop in Costco, and I see that parking lot full of happy people pushing their carts filled with the groceries, which they just put into their car. So this is certainly something that can be done. I honestly don't think we need an awful lot of education about it. I think almost everyone knows that the plastic bags are not good for the environment.
Geraldine, thanks for your perspective. Yeah, I hear you. And, you know, I wonder if there was a ban even on the types of bags for bulk products that you mentioned, if we'd see more people coming in with you know, their mason jars or something like that to get their bulk products. But that is a good question. That and produce bags. People often put produce or meat in a bag to make sure that they're separate. And that's a good question to ask. You know, Aaron, when it comes to looking at how these bills might work, and again, it's not going to come through this year, so there's time to consider them. Do your members at the Vermont Retailers and Grocers Association also see things that might be positive about the idea of charging a fee or banning plastic bags?
Good question, Jane. We have, I've heard from plenty of my members, actually, obviously, first and foremost, the large grocery stores across the state have provided for a very long time receptacles in which people can bring back any plastic, whether it's any wrap plastic, I should clarify. So if it's your plastic bag, if it's Saran wrap that's clean, if it's, you know, plastic wrapping from a package that you purchased, you can put that into a receptacle at the front door of most large grocery stores here in the state. As well, smaller retailers across the state in several communities have created their own individual programs. You know, if you don't want a bag, they take 5 cents out of the register and put it into a jar, and they donate that money at the end of the month to a certain charity, you know, around their community. So retailers are certainly doing what it is within their power to encourage people not to take bags. And they're also offering, like I said, the large chain grocers are offering to take back those plastic bags. So, you know, nobody is saying, you know, that we aren't for a clean environment. Everyone wants to do their best to have the clean environment and to provide as many opportunities to reduce usage of plastic or single-use carry-out bags. And there are efforts. We're not saying that we're against it. We're saying there needs to be education and outreach for everyone involved.
So you haven't taken a stand yet, but do you think you will? And do you have a sense of what that stand would be?
It's a project for me over the summer, actually. As you know, this has been a discussion for a number of years in the legislature, and movement has certainly picked up in the last few weeks to the point where it's more noticeable that people are becoming more and more outspoken. It's obviously an issue that we need to talk about with our members, and I look forward to doing that once we're out of session and I'm able to spend some time face-to-face with retailers across the state.
That's Aaron Sigrist, president of the Vermont Retailers and Grocers Association. VRGA hasn't taken a stand on this issue yet, but as Aaron just talked about, she will be doing some research on this in the coming summertime. And we will keep an eye on what happens with these ideas of charging a fee or perhaps banning single-use disposable plastic bags in the future. Aaron, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Jane.
And listeners, I know this is a conversation that a lot of people have opinions on, so you can continue to share your thoughts with us on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net or on our Facebook page. Coming up, we will hear the latest on a lockdown in several schools in Essex Junction. This is Vermont Edition. This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. This morning, a frightening alert went out to the parents of students in the Chittenden Central Supervisory Union that schools in Essex Junction were on lockdown due to a credible threat at Essex High School. Police have now swept Essex High School and have deemed the high school safe. VPR's Taylor Dobbs has been in Essex Junction covering this ongoing situation, and he's on the line with us now. Hi, Taylor.
Hi, Jane.
So police are saying the school just went from a lockdown to a lockout. Can you explain what that means?
Sure. So a lockdown is kind of the more severe of the two. Everyone in the school has to, you know, take an action, lock up in their rooms and, you know, stay still and stay in one place and kind of wait it out. Whereas a lockout is the school is safe. People can move around inside and presumably go about their day and go to classes. But no one can go in or out of the school, and there's still a heavy police presence here. So a lockout just means no one in or out, but people inside can move freely, and the school has been determined safe.
How did this lockdown start this morning?
This morning, police say that a call came in from a male suspect who was threatening some sort of harm on people at Essex High School. Police weren't really specific about, you know, what weapon might be involved or what's going on. In terms of the specific threat, but they said that came in this morning and they immediately placed the schools on lockdown. And they were working to substantiate the threat. In other words, figure out if it was real or if the person was bluffing. And as last I knew, they had not yet substantiated the threat.
And I just want to repeat to make sure that listeners know a total of six schools were on lockdown this morning. Hiawatha Elementary, Summit Street School, Thomas Fleming School, Albert D. Lawton School, Essex High School, and the Center for Technology Essex. Essex Town Schools were not on lockdown or lockout. Taylor, as soon as we heard word that there was a lockdown at the Essex High School, you went to the school. You saw what the police response was like. What can you tell us about that?
Well, it was, you know, flashing lights at both entrances to the school. There were police right when I got there. Just off the side of the road, a bunch of police cars pulled over, and at least one officer had, you know, full body armor on with a what they call a patrol rifle, which resembles, you know, an assault rifle or something you'd see in the U.S. military. And they were going towards the school. I have since been on the other side where they have the press staging near Essex Rescue, and there are officers at the perimeter, but there's also some people up near the school and looking around in the parking lot, looking into cars. And so there clearly is still an active scene here, but the police are relatively calm and, you know, it didn't look like there was violence unfolding at any point. And I'm told there have been no reported injuries. And so it looks like so far this is an abundance of caution, but luckily, no one harmed at this point.
Taylor, you and I are talking just before 1 p.m. here during the live broadcast, and it sounds like still police presence. You mentioned that schools are on lockout, so nobody can come in or out. Sounds like the whole day is going to be fairly disrupted, at least for students at Essex High School, and that the police presence may be there throughout the day. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what it looks like now. There's definitely no sign of the police thinning out here. It appears that they've set up sort of a headquarters here at Essex Rescue, and the State Police Bomb Squad vehicle just arrived, and they've gone inside. And just before I came on, the Tactical Services Unit, which is the State Police's SWAT team, pulled in along with an armored vehicle. So clearly they're not scaling things down at this point, but again, things are still remaining relatively calm, and all those vehicles went in sort of towards the school property, and I can't see them anymore, but the with the exception of Bomb Squad, which is pulling towards the school as we speak.
Taylor, what do we know about the person who police say called in this, quote, credible threat?
So it was an interesting discussion with the captain and the Essex police, because he said they don't know who the person is. They haven't identified the suspect and also haven't arrested anyone, of course. But they did say that they are in communication with this person. I'm not sure what the method of communication is, but they said that it was a male subject who called in the threat this morning. Again, they wouldn't specify what the nature of the threat was, but they did say they're in touch with this person. Last I knew, they hadn't located him, but they are in touch with him and presumably trying to resolve this nonviolently. And I did earlier see a gentleman walk into the Essex Rescue Command post of sorts with a negotiator jacket on. So it seems like there are negotiators present to speak with that suspect.
And you were tweeting, Taylor, at one time this morning, police were unsure about whether or not this suspect might actually be in the school. Have they decided that this suspect is not in the school?
I haven't, gotten official word on that, but based on the fact that they have gone from a lockdown to a lockout and deemed the school safe, I would guess that the suspect probably is not inside.
Taylor, supervisory union this morning, when it sent out a note to parents advising them that all Essex Junction schools were on lockdown, also said very strongly, parents, please do not go to the high school. And, you know, we've seen from other situations around the country that it can be very problematic when there are lots of people rushing to a school when police are also trying to figure out what the scenario is at that school. From what you were observing outside the school, did parents and community members heed that warning not to go to Essex High School?
It seems like quite a few people did. Just given the number of students here, I would expect that there are a lot of concerned parents out in the community. But at least where I'm standing, there's only about 10 or 15 people out beyond the outer perimeter there. And people have largely, it seems like, avoided the area. And it's kind of clear why. There's a lot of police traffic coming in and out of this driveway. And there's somebody working the gate to let people in and out. So, you know, an influx of vehicles and people does cause problems for officers here. And there's a little bit of tension in the air. We had a reporter colleague came up to join the group of press, and the Chittenden County Sheriff, who's on the perimeter, very sternly let that reporter know that he had to take his hand out of his bag. So they are on alert, and more civilians is just more people to keep an eye on and make sure everybody's safe.
Taylor, you mentioned that the school is on lockout, not lockdown now. It's almost 1 p.m. as we talk. School would normally be letting out fairly soon, and students would be leaving. Family members might be coming to pick up students. Do you have any sense of what's going to happen at the end of the school day?
I don't have that sense right now. It definitely does not, at this point, look like a scene where, kids could any moment start getting in their cars and driving out of the parking lot. There's still a lot of police vehicles sort of blocking the way. There's a Essex Rescue staff member who has barricaded the driveway. So it doesn't look like business as usual here this afternoon. And I'm not certain that we will see students leave on time, although I haven't heard for sure either way, what's going to happen with the rest of the school day and how students are going to get home.
VPR's Taylor Dobbs. Taylor, thank you.
Glad to be here.
To recap the news this morning in Essex Junction, an alert went out to parents of students in the Chittenden Central Supervisory Union that police said there was a threat at Essex High School. The district put the high school on lockdown, and other schools in Essex Junction were on lockout. Since this morning, police have swept Essex High School and deemed it safe. The school is no longer on lockdown, but it's obviously been a very disruptive day at one of the state's largest high schools, and it remains on lockout. That's it for today's show. Tomorrow, a swimming champion's story of alcohol addiction and her path to recovery. We'll talk with Nancy Stearns Burkaw about her new memoir, Dryland, One Woman's Swim to Sobriety. I'm Jane Lindholm. Thanks for listening.